It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Barry Woods, and indeed welcome to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio once again with producer Leah and my partner, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, Mark McMurray. Mark, it's been a hot week out there.
It's been a hot week.
Hopefully there is relief, and as you're listening to this, hopefully you are experiencing that relief. If you're listening on Saturday morning at 11, it's supposed to be a pretty nice day today, but a little bit of rain in the area if you're listening in St. Louis. And if you are listening on Sunday at noon, because the show airs on News Talk STL at both of those times, Saturday morning at 11, Sunday at noon. Sunday, you're doing even better because it's supposed to be absolutely beautiful. Yes. And talking to Chief Meteorologist over at Channel 4 on a Friday on Colombo and Katy, he gave us the weekend forecast and kind of a peek ahead. It looks like we're going to be on a pretty good little run here.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I 2 weeks ago, I was hoping that that 90, low 90, mid 90 stuff was gone, but I'm hoping it's gone for good after this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that, you know, it's just good for everybody because it gives us, make being outside and going fishing and doing whatever you're doing in your life just easier and more enjoyable, but important because the Alton Catfish Classic is now another week closer. Yep. And as we talked about last week, the weather leading up to that tournament could have a big impact on what you guys see as far as numbers coming in and all of that. So talk a little bit about the tournament and what are you watching for in weather wise and just, you know, conditions, atmospheric conditions to hopefully make for a very successful tournament.
Yeah, we want to see that water temperature drop on the downward slope. Which it was, and then we got this heat and kind of put it back up a little bit. But usually when you start getting that downward slope in temperatures and some stability in the weather, the fish just seem to bite better. I don't think they like this heat as much either. Yeah. I don't think they like the up and down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they seem to respond good, and you get into some nice stable conditions when you get those lows in the, you know, mid-60s at night, highs around 80. That's just a good pattern I'd like to see after this heat, kind of have that leading up to the tournament.
Yeah, and it makes sense because, I mean, we've all experienced it. You know, like, you'll be, when it's crazy hot like this, you can be in a pool or swimming in the lake or whatever, and you're in the water, but you still feel like you're sweating.
Yep.
Because the water is hot, too.
It's close to your body temperature.
Yeah. And if you're experiencing that, obviously it's having some impact on the fish and their behavior.
They don't seem to like it that warm. Yeah. You know, they're looking for cooler spots and does something with the oxygen, too. So.
Yep. So how many weeks away now?
2 weeks.
2 weeks away.
September 9th.
Yep. The fact that we're 2 weeks away from the tournament is crazy, and I think I said this last week, and the fact that September 9th is 2 weeks away is crazy. But, that's pretty exciting stuff. What's the latest as far as, are there still any entry positions left, and any updates or anything we need to talk about as far as, what people can expect, the activities happening at the tournament?
Yeah. So we still have four entries left. We're at 96 boats as of this morning. And now they are filling kind of quick. We're getting about, two a day coming in. I do expect it to probably fill this coming weekend, which would be good. We want it to sell. It's always been sold out. And, like I said, the tournament's part of the Alton Expo, so that's I think those activities start on the Wednesday before, but it's just great for people that want to come out and watch that. And we should be able to do some of the stuff we did last year with the audience as far as having some giveaways there too. Because B&M, they're sending up another slug of rods for me to give away, which is really nice of them.
Yep.
And so it should be pretty good.
Gonna be some News Talk STL stuff that I'll be sending your way for attendance prizes. Does the weather impact, like, if you have, I know in the past you guys have had like viewing tanks, like that kind of thing, Are you planning on doing that again this year? And is any of that, contingent on the weather? Like, you know, if it's super hot outside, we can't really even have a tank. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so I don't know. Alex has been trying to get something set up with the tanks again.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of problem as far as with the big cruise ship's going to be there again,
mm-hmm.
Docking that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it much harder to do that because we got to be able to get those fish back in quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas right now, you know, last year we had to shuffle them all back to the Alton Marina.
Yeah.
So he's working on it. I just don't know if it's happening yet.
Right. And, you know, you don't really need the viewing tank because that's part of the – we talked about this last week, and I can't wait. James, my six-year-old son, freaking loves the Alton Catfish Classic, and his eyes get, you know, as big as saucers whenever, you know, these boats, these guys that are doing the live weigh-in, which is so cool. It's such a great event for the family. I mean, it's just a cool thing to – experience because this is a big time tournament. I don't know. It's got to be the biggest fishing tournament in the St. Louis area.
Oh, without a doubt, the St. Louis area.
By far.
Yeah, there's nothing to get
over $50,000 of total prizes, yep. $20,000 to the winner.
Yep.
I mean, this is a big tournament no matter anywhere in the country.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's the best of the best. And the live weigh in when those boats pull up to the stage and they reach in and they pull out those giant catfish. Fish.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And kids and everybody gets to watch, you know, see that in person. You know, like it's an experience. You get to see all that stuff no matter what's going on. Yeah. And other things.
And just so many people don't realize that we have that quality and caliber of fish in the rivers locally.
I mean,
you know, that people go, oh, if I got to go catch something big, I got to go to the ocean, I got to go to the Great Lakes. No, yeah, I mean, you're sitting on it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're right here.
Yeah. This is the place.
It's one of the best. Yeah, probably the best in the country.
It really is. Yeah. So, so many things happening around the Alton Catfish Classic. You can get more information and sort of a timeline of things on when to be there if you want to watch the weigh-ins and all that stuff. Best place to go is the Alton Catfish Classic Facebook page.
Yeah. Yep.
Make sure you are checking out Alton Catfish Classic on Facebook for all of those details. And we'll talk about it a little bit more as the show goes on today. And, of course, in the next couple of weeks as we get ready for the tournament. Kind of related, but just, people that are local guys that are preparing for the tournament or just the guides and fishermen that you talk to every day out of the shop. What are they saying about the impact of this heat? And, you know, now that we're going to be getting past that, conditions on waters here locally. And of course, we'll have even more details on that on the fishing report in a little bit. But what are you hearing from the guys out there this week?
So this week's been kind of slow, and it's partially just there's not as many people getting out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and I talked to Jason Snyderhine. He said, the fishing has been a little slower this week. And he said, partially because it's bait's harder to get
mm-hmm.
when it gets like this. And
it's harder to be out there.
And it's harder to be out there.
Period. I mean, I would imagine that has massive impact.
Oh, yeah.
It probably has everything to do with. The weather has probably everything to do with any differences happening out there right now. But that is changing as we speak. And we've talked about that impact and what it could have on the tournament or, you know, just people in general over the next couple of weeks. What's the lasting impact of a heat wave like this? Like in 2 weeks when the tournament gets here, will that all be behind us? Like how long does the weather need to be, you know, in a spot that you like it to be for there to be the optimal conditions?
I think we've got enough time. We need, a week to 10 days of nice cooler weather. And it looks like that's on the coming. So
it's not like if just, tomorrow's cool, like everything's back to normal.
Right. It takes about a week.
Yeah.
You know, it took about a week to heat it up. Takes about a week to cool it back down, and then we still got another week in before that. So I think we're on a good path weather-wise.
Yeah, they haven't maybe some of the guys will touch on it in the report a little bit later on, but water levels. Have you heard anything about current water levels as far as high, low, about what they have been, and is that going to play any role, you think, on the tournament?
That always impacts the ramps we have available to use that water level.
Mm-hmm. And,
last year was really low. It looks like it's going to be really low this year. So we end up opening it up a greater distance for additional ramps.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all. Yeah. All that's going to play into not only the tournament, but, you know, the experience on the water over the next couple of weeks. So we'll continue to keep an eye on all of that stuff. I did want to switch out to a national story that we covered a couple of weeks ago when it was being proposed. And now it is indeed official. And we're going to talk to Jason McDuffie from B&M Poles. He is one of the big sponsors of the Alton Catfish Classic, but B&M Poles is a national company.
Yeah, they're well known. I mean, they were originally started off as a crappie rod company.
Yeah.
And then they're into catfish rods.
Yeah,
also.
And they're located down there in Mississippi.
They're
right?
down in Mississippi.
Yep. And this new federal action is targeting a lot of the fishing industry in that area, in the Gulf of Mexico area. And as I mentioned, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but now it's official. The Biden administration has taken action restricting oil gas development after a settlement with eco groups. The Biden administration issued new restrictions this week on oil and gas companies operating in the Gulf of Mexico in an effort to protect a whale species after it settled last month with a coalition of environmental groups. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, which manages energy development in federal waters, published a notice to lessees and operators this week highlighting expanded protections for the rice whale, a species listed under the Endangered Species Act. And as we talked about, it sounds like, you know, they are presenting this as something that's, you know, in strictly dealing with oil and gas companies. But this is the bill that limits how fast
the speed limit on the charter boats and stuff. Yep.
And this is going to have massive impact on the saltwater fishing industry, and not just leisure fishing, commercial fishing.
Yes, the commercial fishermen
and all of that industry, all of that supply to restaurants and grocery stores and everything else across the country. This is going to have a massive impact. Because with this new law, it says that all ships, regardless of size, should travel no quicker than 10 knots, and vessels should only travel through the area in the daytime. So it's restricting speed limit, and it's restricting when, the hours that you can travel. So these companies that go out in the water, like if they need to get to a spot 30 miles off coast, you know, to fish, now it's going to take 2, 3, 4 times longer to get there.
That's nuts.
And yeah, so that limits how long they'll be able to fish. And now they're going to have to also contend with the daytime, the restrictions of when you can do it. So this is going to limit the amount. I don't think it can be overstated. I think this is going to dramatically impact the fishing industry.
It is. I mean, you got all that. I mean, that's a huge amount of food that's not going to get produced.
Yeah. And
or it's going to be so much more costly to produce it that it's, you know.
Yeah. I think both of those are true.
Yep.
I don't think it'll be possible to deliver the quantities unless you're sending 3 boats out at once to deal with, because to compensate for the.
Yes.
So
what one boat used to be able to do.
So that makes the prices go even higher. I don't see how there's any way that it doesn't impact both the supply chain and the cost in a dramatic fashion. So,
it will.
Yeah.
You ever get the feeling we just might regulate ourselves into extinction?
If we stay on the path that we're on now, yes. The one silver lining, and this, like, regulation just in general across the board, to me, is one of my biggest issues when it comes to elections or politicians or government or anything. And the one silver lining is that regulations can be shut off in many cases just as quickly as they can be turned on.
Right.
It's one of the few places that you can actually take pretty immediate action and have pretty immediate results.
Yeah, when you can set the rules and the agency can.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Donald Trump, when he, we do not usually get political on this show, and I'm not going to, but just as an example, Donald Trump had a very booming economy pretty quickly into his presidency. And in my opinion, it wasn't because he had this genius understanding of all this intricate economic policy and rules. And He just came in and he just deregulated a whole bunch of stuff and let capitalism
work.
And yeah, exactly. Let capitalism work. And that doesn't mean like take away safeties and it's the Wild West. It doesn't mean that at all. It means take away these ridiculous.
Yeah, take away the stupid stuff.
The stupid stuff that's limiting, hurting people from being able to just do their job and produce. And I think that had more than anything to do with any economic success that Trump had in his, especially early on in his presidency. Yep. It wasn't like he rewrote a bunch of.
Yeah, you just sort of, you know, you unleashed.
Yeah,
the entrepreneurial spirit in the you made it easier for people to do their job.
Yeah, turn the switch off.
Yeah,
and then Biden turned it all back on.
Yep.
So hopefully this is another wake up call, another realization for people about these ridiculous steps that we are on. I mean, like you said, just over regulating every. We did a story on Columbo and Katie this week about them wanting to put new regulations on the manufacturing of ceiling fans.
Yeah, I was listening to that.
It's like, are you kidding? Like
$39 over the lifetime of the fan.
Yeah, that would save. Yeah, that would save an American $39 in energy costs over the life of a fan, over the lifespan of the fan. And like I said, when we were talking about it, in my parents' house, there are ceiling fans in the same spot that they have been for 30 years. Yes. Yeah.
Hardly ever go bad.
Right, right.
You know, they last probably 34 years.
Yeah, yeah. My grandparents' house, I think that they had some of those fans in places for 50 years. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, just stay out of our lives and let Americans do their thing. And that put some trust in the people.
I bet if you Google search for ceiling fan repairman, there would be zero people come up.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. All right. Well, that's it. That ends the political discussion on this week's Bluff City Outdoors show. We've got plenty more to talk about, and we will continue the conversation with our guest this week, Jason McDuffie from B&M Polls. I am going to ask him about these regulations, so I can't promise that there won't be a little bit more of that conversation, but I want to talk to him about that, and of course, his participation in the upcoming Alton Catfish Classic Tournament. And more. We'll talk to Jason McDuffie from B&M Polls next on Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9941 News Talk.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here with producer Leah and my partner and the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, Mark McMurray. As we were talking about, we are getting prepared for the Alton Catfish Classic. The tournament is just a couple of weeks away. And as we mentioned, joining us on the line now, our guest this week returning to the show is Jason McDuffie with B&M Polls, one of the big sponsors of the
Alton. They're our rod sponsor.
Yeah, rod sponsor for the Alton Catfish Classic. And Jason, it's great to have you on. I don't know, have you guys been, we've been through a heat wave here in St. Louis. I know you guys are down there in Mississippi. Have you been experiencing any of this crazy weather recently, or have you dodged it?
We did not dodge it at all. And I even dodged it less. So I started off my week at a trade show in Fort Worth, Texas. When I landed there, it was 106.
Wow.
I land back in Memphis on yesterday, and it's 104. And I was like, I can't escape no matter where I go.
Yeah.
And when I came in earlier, the truck said 101 outside. So, we're definitely in the heat.
Yeah. This is supposed to be hopefully the end of it as we go through the weekend here, at least in our area. It's supposed to start dialing down. So hopefully you guys experience that as well. Obviously, want to talk a little bit about B&M Polls and, the company and the products and what you guys are up to. But I wanted to start with, fishing pole company in Mississippi. Why is what's the connection with Mark and the tournament, and why is it important to to a company, a fishing pole company in Mississippi, to you know, make sure that they're in the community in places like here in the St. Louis area?
Oh, yeah. Well, for starters, even though we're based in Mississippi, we sell to all 50 states. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's always important for us to reach people, not just from here. Secondly, Missouri's probably our second or third biggest state as far as sales go. A lot of good catfish, a lot of good crappie, and that's what we specialize in. Plus, you know, so many people down here grew up listening to Cardinals games. Everybody's a St. Louis fan, so, you know.
Cardinals Nation, it covers a good chunk of the country, does it not?
It does. It really does.
That's awesome. You know, that's an interesting point that Jason just made, Mark. You and I talk a lot about on this show about, you know, the unique waterway that we have in our area with the Mississippi and the Missouri and the Illinois, the confluence of all these major rivers. This is a waterway that is very unique and very beneficial to fishermen, gives our area, you know, a big advantage for the fishing industry, both tournaments and just, you know, recreational and even professional fishing. But to hear Jason say, you know, that Missouri and Illinois, that our area is one of the biggest in the country. Do you see that? I mean, like across the board, do you see that or hear that?
Without a doubt. I mean, because, you know, you got a tremendous amount of crappie fishing. You know, that's mm-hmm. where B&M really got their start, was in the crappie market. And then they've come in with such high quality products for the catfish market. You know, and that's what we have here in the Midwest. When you really get down to it, I mean, yeah, we got a lot of bass fishing too, but, you know, the crappie and cat fishing, you know, up here, I think when God was laying out the plan for up here, he said, hey, I'm going to make that the best spot for blue cats by bringing all those big rivers together, you know.
That's awesome. And Jason, have you seen what we have seen over the last few years? It seems like more people are either coming back or discovering fishing or just the great outdoors in general. Maybe as the rest of the world gets so crazy, it seems like more and more people are, you know, unplugging and getting back to things like hunting and camping and fishing. And I know Mark has seen like an uptick. We've seen an uptick in fishing license and business and things like that. Have you experienced a similar situation in recent years at B&M?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that was kind of, you know, you hate to say it, but it was kind of one of the positives to all the COVID restrictions.
You're exactly right.
Play baseball.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
People couldn't go and do the things that they wanted to do, but lakes and rivers were open. And what it did is it got people back to hunting and fishing and back to the outdoors. And they realized, hey, this is far more enjoyable and relaxing. And I mean, to be honest, it's a lot more fun to actually throw a line out and catch a fish than it is to simulate that on your Xbox.
Yes, I could.
I think that's what we're seeing a lot of. I really do. And I also think there's something to, and you know, maybe I'm a little crazy, but a lot of people are trying to get back to eating kind of healthy. And there's nothing healthier than fresh fish or a deer or those type things. And so I think what you're seeing is also a lot of this increase is fishing for food. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I really believe those two things have helped our market tremendously.
I would say that especially goes for catfish.
Crappie and bluegill.
Yeah,
you're exactly right.
You know. Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And Jason, we've talked about that exact thing. If there was any silver lining to the whole COVID situation, it was that people were, in some cases, kind of forced to go find something to do, and they rediscovered what a great time it was to get out on the water and do some fishing, and now they, you know, are re-addicted. That's great, and we could all use something that's good for the soul and a way to unplug out there today. Tell us a little bit about the company, the products, and the latest just happening there at B&M.
Okay, well, this is our 76-year business, you know, third generation. My boss is the third generation of the same family that's owned it since 1947. As Mark alluded to earlier, we really cut our teeth with crappie and bluegill and panfish market, where, you know, we are the number one crappie pole by large margin across the country. And you know, within the last 10 years, we've gotten heavy, heavy into the catfish market because it is a great market to be in. You know, it's always great to have partners like Mark and Bluff City to work with and promote the sport and get more people out there fishing, get more people coming to these weigh-ins and see all these giant fish that are out there. It's just, you know, that's just kind of been our direction for the last 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And I know every year, you know, you and other companies will, you know, introduce a new line or a new product or, you know, make some modifications or whatever. What are the things that you focus on? Because in fishing, another thing that Mark and I talk a lot about on this show, there are a lot of things that have been in place for 100 years that still work today.
Yep.
You know, there's designs or certain types of lures or whatever. You know, I could get a crankbait out of my grandpa's tackle box from 40 years ago that's been sitting in a basement and still catch fish. And it still looks like a crankbait in my that, you know, that I just bought at Bluff City Outdoors and still catch fish with it. And I would imagine that with fishing poles and there at B&M, it's the same thing, that there are some tried and true traditional things that just work. So what are those things that you don't mess with, and where are the areas that you look to try to make some improvements?
Well, one of the things that you don't mess with, for example, and I keep talking about crappie. I promise I'll talk more about catfish.
No. Across them. But we talk. Listen, our listeners fish for everything. Yeah, so you're good, no matter what you want to talk about.
The action of a graphite jig pole, which we introduced the first graphite jig pole to the United States back in the early 80s. The action of jig poles are supposed to mimic the action of a bamboo cane pole. And that is as old as it gets. you don't want to mess with that. Now you tweak it. Some people like things stiffer. Some people like them lighter, you know, those type things. On the catfish side, man, it's just got to be able to handle the abuse, because there's a big fish and big current. And these rods have to have the backbone to handle it. You know, I mean, I've seen people catch big fish on lighter rods, but a lot of those guys are professionals. They kind of know what they're doing. They know how to work the fish for, you know, 45 minutes and tire them out and get them to the boat. But I'd say on the catfish side, it's all about backbone. You got to have that backbone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that is, have you seen any, has there been any major change over the years as far as like consistently what the what fishermen want, what customers want? Like maybe, you know, like the like you said, like maybe the flexibility of the pole. Like it used to be it was always you didn't want too much, but now today's fishermen, you want something. Like this is an example of a possibility. Is there anything like that, or is it more about just dialing it in and making small tweaks to what is already working to, you know, get that more and more efficientness and effectiveness out of the poles?
Well, and Mark may be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but man, 20 years ago, there weren't nearly as many catfish rod companies as there are today.
Oh no. There
in
was
large part,
just a handful. Mm-hmm. And you know,
guys are basic.
Yeah. You had your Tiger Sticks and things like that out there. But you know, I was just going to say, the one thing I'd really noticed that has really caught on, and you almost got to have it now, is you got to have the all metal reel seat. That's the one thing. If you made one with a graphite, even with aluminum sleeves, people are just not going to buy it.
Mm. Yep. And it's got to have typically stainless steel guides that can handle 80-pound braid. That's a must. And, you know, 20 years ago, like Mark said, it was primarily ugly sticks or musky rods or just whatever they could get. And nowadays you have so many people trying to perfect a catfishing rod. Of course, everybody has different techniques, different preferences, and you know, you got to make a rod that you hope most people will enjoy and most people can afford.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that about afford, because I'm just sitting here scrolling through your website a little bit, and there's a lot of great companies out there. And I feel like sometimes the desire to stand out and be the best, and you know, this is the best of the best equipment and everything that we use, and you know, a lot of their products are in the triple digits or over $100. And yeah, B&M, you guys definitely have, you know, offer that type of a pull. But as I scroll through the website, I see a lot of $30 and $40 fishing poles. And as a person who fishes every chance he gets, I certainly appreciate the $30 and $40 or even the $20 fishing poles more than the $150 fishing poles. So I think that I imagine that that is not by accident, that it's very intentional to keep those prices affordable while providing top quality for your customers. Could you talk about that a little bit?
No, you hit the nail around the head. You know, our goal is to make a quality product that people can afford. You know, we're not always going to be the cheapest. We're not, definitely not always going to be the most expensive, but we'd like to try to find that sweet spot in the middle to where people can afford it and it's a high quality item for the price that you pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys do a really good job of that. I was just wondering though, the Bucks jig pole, was that your original one? Or
that was the very first graphite jig pole sold in the United States.
And they're still making it today. And it's still one of their best selling models. You know, that just says something.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Is there any big standout coming up in the next line of products? Is there any one or two things that you really want to let people know about or feature on? Or again, are we just kind of making those tweaks each and every year to make the poles a little bit better?
Well, a couple things we added to our lineup on the catfish side this year, or going into 2024, we should have them in stock towards the end of October, early November. But for the first time, we are actually making an extra heavy rod. It's called the Atlas. It's got some really cool graphics. I've had my guys out testing on the Mississippi River. You know, they've used up to 32 ounces of lead with it. Now, why you need that much lead, I don't know. Mark might. But that's a lot of weight on a rod.
It's a lot of weight.
And it held up just fine. Mm. Yeah. And I guess that's when people are trying to suspend in really heavy current. That's the only thing I can figure. Yeah. But
I can see even here in St. Louis, when the Missouri's really rolling and the Mississippi's flowing good and you get downtown where it shrinks it and gets narrow again.
Yeah, that current.
That current gets crazy down there. And I know they use a lot of 16-ounce down there to try to keep that bait straight under the boat.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Why they don't use downriggers, I don't know. But.
And so we're pretty excited about that. And we also just recently acquired Easy Sinker Slide, which is a really cool sinker slide that's predominantly used in the catfish and saltwater worlds, where you can put it on and off your line without having to cut your line and re-rig. It's actually a sinker slide that you can weave your line through and put it on and off the line without having to mess everything else up.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Jason McDuffie from B&M Poles. Almost out of time, Jason. I want to ask you a question that I can't believe I even have to ask, because this is not usually part of the conversation here on the show. But we were just doing a story in the first segment and you guys are down there in Mississippi, so this may hit closer to home than it even does here, about the new regulations that are being passed by the federal government about environmental protections put in place to protect whales that are, they say that they are, regulations on the oil and gas industry, but the truth is it's going to impact the saltwater fishing community a whole lot down there with these new regulations and knots and things like that. I don't want to get deep into that topic specifically, but federal regulations is not usually something we talk about when we're talking about fishing and we're talking about fishing poles and things like that. But now with this happening, it's kind of here. Is that something that's starting to impact you guys or be a concern for a company like B&M Poles, that these we could be getting some federal interference with the fishing industry coming up here in the next couple of years if we stay on the same track, I guess?
Yes. Yes. We definitely deal with that. Mm-hmm. On several different fronts. My take on it is, I think rules and regulations of the sort with regards to fishing and water are better left to the people closer to the problem.
Amen.
I think states are much better at that because they actually understand, the rivers and lakes in Missouri and Mississippi and what's needed. I do think it's ironic that the same people who build windmill farms that are massacring whales right now are wanting to regulate other things. So
yeah, I agree. It is ironic. Yeah. So yeah, it's just ridiculous that we even have to spend any of our time on this show when we're one to focus on, you know, fishing and fishing products and great fishing stories, that's even something we have to talk about. But if we don't keep an eye on it and do something about it, and I couldn't agree with you more, there's nobody better at taking care of the water or the land than the local people that are out there, you know, living in these conditions and working with these areas every day. So other folks can just butt out, and that would be just fine with me.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Jason McDuffie, got to thank you again for being the sponsor, the pole sponsor of the Alton Catfish Classic, B&M Fishing Poles, playing a big role in the upcoming tournament. And if people want to learn more about B&M and all the great products and where they can find them, of course, Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois is a great place to go to get all the great B&M products. People want to learn more about the company and what you guys are all about, what are the best places to do so? Website, social media, all that good stuff.
You know, the first place I start is the website, bnmpoles.com, and from there you can link to all of our other socials. Most of them are just B&M Fishing is the name of pretty much all of our TikToks, Twitter, Facebook, all that.
Great stuff. Jason McDuffie from B&M Fishing Poles, really appreciate your time as always, and look forward to getting you back on again real, real soon. Thanks so much.
Hey, I look forward to it. Look forward to a great tournament here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, and we need to get to this week's fishing report. We'll do that for you next here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show, 119 and 941 News Talk.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
It flows underneath the 32 bridge and cuts through the heart of South Georgia.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Big thanks to Jason McDuffie from B&M Poles for being with us in that last segment. As always, if you missed that discussion or just want to make sure you never miss anything that happens here on the show, make sure you are subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoor Show podcast. We put the show out as a podcast each and every week shortly after we get off the air. And it is on basically every podcast platform. So whatever your favorite is, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, just search for the Bluff City Outdoor Show. We are about to do the fishing report. I know a lot of guys make sure that they listen to the podcast every week just for that fishing report, especially if you're going to be out on the water this weekend or anytime soon. That can help you out. And, of course, you can also find us on the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. We post the podcast there each and every week as well. Before we dive into the fishing report, Mark, I did want to we talked a lot about the Alton Catfish Classic coming up. And for good reason, because it's a big tournament, it's only a couple weeks away. There's a lot of other things happening out at the shop, and we're now, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the tournament. We're also getting closer and closer to hunting season, and I would imagine that business is picking up in the archery range and with the Bowtex and people dropping off hunters. It's full-blown prep time for archery season.
Yeah, it's prep time. You know, new strings. I mean, that's it. We're getting, you know, 3 to 5 dropped off every day.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys are trying to stay on top of it, get them knocked out as quick as they can. Starting to back up a little, but we're still, you know, get it in there, and it's still about a 4 or 5 day turnaround.
Yeah, and you know, right now a little bit of a backup's not a big deal because you're not. It's not.
We're not here yet.
Yeah. This is the time to do that. Get it dropped off. Get your bows tuned up. Get them restrung, and be 100% ready to go when the archery season starts, instead of waiting to the last second. And
that's what you don't want to do.
Yeah, and now the bow's you know, getting tuned up on a day that you could be out in the woods.
Yep.
And don't let that happen. So get up to Bluff City Outdoors, drop off your equipment, and get prepared for archery season. Also, don't forget, you can shoot every day there in the state-of-the-art archery range at Bluff City Outdoors, and also take advantage of the state-of-the-art Techno Hunt system. One more quick reminder that with all of this great outdoor activity going on, don't forget about Rockwood Lump Charcoal. The next time you're out grilling, the number one rated charcoal nationwide 9 years in a row is a local family-owned business, Rockwood Lump Charcoal. is just a superior product across the board when it comes to grilling and charcoal use. Lump charcoal is, there's none of the filler or the chemicals that are involved in the traditional briquettes, which means that the charcoal, the rockwood charcoal, goes a lot further than you can, you don't need nearly as much of it to grill as the traditional briquettes. So your bag lasts a whole lot longer, it burns faster, it burns hotter, it gives you more control. It's just a superior grilling experience across the board. And Rockwood Lump Charcoal is available in over 100 area stores, including all Ace Hardware locations. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, time for this week's fishing report after what's been a very, very hot week. I think things will hopefully be turning around in short order, Mark.
That's what I'm hoping, yeah.
Yeah, start us off.
Okay, Truman Lake, Jordan Lear, he's a guide and a buddy out there. Crappie or fair, fish to 10 to 20 feet of water, 7 to 15 feet down. Fish to standing timber on the main lake flats and the brush piles. The crappie bombs tip with the minnows are working great. Catfish are fair, drifting the main lake flats and humps with from 10 to 23 feet with fresh shad, live or cut. Bass, fair, fish the main lake points in the brush piles. Throw a half-ounce football jig around the brush piles, 10 to 20 feet deep. Square bill crankbaits are working good. 10-inch plastic worms, Texas rigged, and brush hogs are also working. Walleye, fair, fish the main lake humps into points. Crawler harnesses and trolling crankbaits are working over the main lake flats, 10 to 20 feet of water. White bass and hybrids, good. Fish the main lake humps into flats with live shad on a Carolina rig, 12 to 18 feet of water. Rattle traps are also working. Half ounce and 1 ounce jigging spoons are working great. Casting a Charlie Brewer 3-inch slider, bass slider on a 1/4-inch head, and the flats and the humps are working good as well. Pearl and chartreuse, baby bass, and pearl of the colors. Jason Kaiser, Mark Twain Fishing Intel. Bass catching them deep on the shaky heads. Carolina rigs and jigs. The brush piles and the points are working the best. Have to keep moving a little bit day to day right now. Crappie. Crappie are biting a little bit better this week than with the heat. Brush pile and cubes with minnows or plastics are working well. Different presentations work from day to day. Bigger crappie are on the bottom. Catfish, rod and reel, and jugs on the flats with liver and cut shad. Got the Carlisle with Eric Morey. Carlisle Lake is 445.16. In the hot weather, has the white bass has kicked back in and are doing great. The upcoming cold front might shut them down a little bit. Catfish has been great on cut bait and garlic shrimp, and the summer pad and crappie are biting decent in structure 10 to 14 feet of water. Local lakes and rivers, Eric Morey. Blue cat on the river has been doing well on cut skipjack and moon eye. Largemouth bass is still good. Multiple tactics, including crankbaits, plastic worm, and jigs. White bass are doing well in mid-range diving crankbaits and crappie jigs, double rigged. He's usually uses a lot of banded 300s. Crappie jig
available.
Available Bluff City Outdoors.
All that one.
Yeah, crappie are biting good, 10 to 14 feet of water on structure. Rend, with Fred Mooney out there. He's a guide. Lake level is 405.8 and falling. Summer pattern is the ledges, deep brush, and the standing timber. They're producing nice fish. Jigs tipped with minnow is the go-to bait as it's starting to cool off. Catfish and white bass are biting excellent along the shallows areas of the main lake. River catfishing, Jason Schneiderhine. Extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
Water level is minus 0.56 and falling. Water temp is back up in with this heat to 85 degrees. Fish have been a little slow the last few days. Bait has been tough to get, but they're still finding some fish. Looking forward to at least the cooler weather coming up. Shelbyville, Matt England. Crappie is excellent on jigs and minnows under a float. Trolling has been really slow. Southern Illinois Lakes with Gabe Montgomery.
Ten Horse Mommy.
Yep. Said, it's hot, folks. Water temps are in the high 80s to the low 90s in Southern Illinois.
Low 90s.
That's crazy. Water clarity is 5
like a hot tub.
Yep, 5 to 8 feet on Lake of Egypt. And Kincaid Crab Orchard is 2 to 4 feet. The schooling activity is in full swing. I witnessed thousands of bass busting shad on the surface recently at Lake of Egypt. The pattern is frustrating and fun at the same time. The bass are targeting very small shad, 1.5 inches, and will ignore standard size baits. The faster you can get a walking style topwater in front of them, the more likely you are to get a bite. I found a jerk bait to be one of the best baits to generate bites when the fish go back down. A tiny zoom fluke will work well on this. Albino is a good color. That is a good color in that bait. That's a really small fluke. It's about 2.5 to 2.75 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
So fan cast into the areas where you saw the fish busting. Let the bank seek so different depths on each cast until you get a bite. So these fish are constantly moving and can be hard to locate without forward-facing sonar. Most of the fish in these schools are 12 to 14 inches, but they're still fun to catch. drink plenty of fluids, sunscreen up, and be safe.
And over to Mike Marfell.
Yep.
All right. He is not normally Mike Marfell gives us the Lake of the Ozarks bass report, but Mike sent this on Friday as he is getting ready for a tournament at Bull Shoals. So this is your Bull Shoals bass report. And it starts out, speaking of the water temperatures, he said that it's been a grind out there this week in this heat. He says he saw 92.5
wow
as a water temperature at one point today or Friday.
That's
when
great.
He said
that's very warm.
That's wild. That's wild. But the relief is on the way. As we mentioned, this weekend is the big turnaround and things are getting much better out there. He says, Bull Shoals report is that it is super clear and you can catch them super shallow, 4 feet or less, or out to drop shot fish in 65 plus. Best fish for me have come shallow on a jig for the largemouth chasing bluegill, but hard to get five in a day. You have to cover water and stay back far enough to not spook them in the clear water. Plan for the tournament. Oh, he's giving us his secrets here. His plan for this weekend's tournament is to go to get five fishing bluff ends and channel swing banks with Kentucky bass and smallmouth, and then go hunt for the bigs. And bigs is all caps, so he's serious. Up shallow to try to cull up to a bag that will sniff a check. No matter what body of water you're fishing on, wear that life jacket and kill switch always. Never know when something could go sideways. Great stuff there. And yeah, as we talked about earlier, this heat definitely has had an impact on the fishing out there lately. But all of that is turning around with, you know, the temperatures this weekend. Saturday's high in the upper 80s, Sunday's high in the lower 80s, and that lower 80 temperature is supposed to hold on at least in the short term here for a little while. So,
yeah, hopefully it'll really straighten out.
Yeah, that'll definitely be turning things around. All right, before we go, just want to remind you again that with only 2 weeks to go before the Alton Catfish Classic, whether you want to try to grab one of those very last spots, if they're even available as you hear this, you need to go to the Alton Catfish Classic Facebook page, or if you just want to come out and be a part of it, like I am every year with my son. It's a great family day, great experience out there. All the fun that's attached to the Alton Expo and getting to see that big Viking River Cruise boat right there that's going to be parked right there at the marina as well, and see all of the cool stuff associated with the Alton Catfish Classic, watching the weigh-in, watching those big fish get pulled out of the live well and weighed live, and somebody's going to win a $20,000 check, $50,000 in prize money given out, and some of the really cool stuff, prizes for biggest fish by a female angler, right? Biggest by a youth angler.
Yeah, I think those are highest placing, but yeah, female,
okay, yeah.
Veteran, and youth.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Two big fish prizes, first big fish and then second big fish.
And then first 10 places pay out, right?
First 10 places pay out. And then we also have, like I said, we're going to have those giveaways.
Yeah, Come out and be a part of it and get all of those details on the Alton Catfish Classic Facebook page. All right, that's going to do it for our show this week. If you missed anything or just want to make sure you never miss anything here, again, make sure you subscribe to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast on every podcast platform out there, or speaking of Facebook, the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. We'll put the podcast there each and every week as well. For producer Leah and Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk.
I'll track the time when I sit by the fire.